Okay, started. I'll go through the policy. Antitrust policy. Linux Foundation meetings involve participation by industry competitors, and it's the intention of the Linux Foundation to conduct all of these activities in accordance with applicable antitrust and competition laws. It is therefore extremely important that attendees adhere to meeting agendas and be aware of and not participate in any activities that are prohibited under applicable U.S. state, federal, or foreign antitrust and competition laws. Examples of types of actions that are prohibited at Linux Foundation meetings and in connection with Linux Foundation activities are described in Linux Foundation antitrust policy. If you have questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel. Or if you are a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrea Updegrove of the firm of Gessmer at Updegrove LLP, which provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation. Hyperledger is committed to creating a safe and welcoming community for all. For more information, please visit our Hyperledger Code of Conduct. So, Eugenio.
Okay.
So, the word to you.
Okay. So we were going to talk about China today, and as a first beginning, I would like to, I've made a very brief draft of the main policies at national level that embrace the financial technology development. As you may see, there are long-term strategies in addition of a very specific plan set up by People Bank of China in the years 2019-2021 to strengthen the strategic position for financial technology. This is the key at political level to empower a strategy in all the main provinces in the countries. The intent of this work is to outline how this national project and in general DLT solution can implement this strategy in terms of creating an export proof of work in terms of DLT solution to export worldwide and in terms of supporting One Belt, One Road overseas investment guidelines. I will start from standards because the standards are one main topic and we could spend maybe the whole hour discuss about that. But I just spent a few minutes to outline which are the main operational standards for cross-border operations. At operational standards, I mean the CIPS, that is actually the cross-border interbank payment system that is working on managing the accounts. The different kind of accounts that are working in mainland China are basically the foreign account for foreign money, the settlement account, and the national account working on renminbi for the national operations. In addition to this, of course, must be stressed that these kind of standards are fully compliant with ISO 2022. And they work for higher transaction with the HVBS, that is the system clearing system that's managing the larger transaction like for investments and similar transfer of money. In terms of technical standards, China is, from technical point of view, generally is working with ISO in the initiative in developing different kind of technical standards from definition, from legal standards, and so on. But I think the most important and interesting info is that People Bank of China have issued at the beginning of this year the first set of standards that are binding for all the financial institution in order to develop a DLT environment that could be harmonized this set of rules that Spotify in terms of definition, in terms of requirement from hardware and software point of view, which are which requirement networks set up by, according to my understanding, DLT operations in China. As you may see, I have outlined the Cyber Administration of China, the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, MIIT, and the People Bank of China. This is because we are now focusing on DLT in finance, and the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, and it's the main framework over which Cyberspace Administration of China is working. And of course, for the finance industry, People Bank of China and Trade Administration Foreign Exchange, that is a subsidiary of People Bank of China, they are running the industry. As you may see, yeah, from here, Cyber Administration of China is managing the blockchain development. For instance, all DLT company that is running a proof of concept, or even a proof of concept, must report its activity to the China, the Cyber Administration of China, and it has to register on the CAC in order to regularly update these activities. This is a brief overview of the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. Of course, it's not just involved in DLT, but in all the financial and information managing of data and projects that are running in China, also in cybersecurity, in AI. It's the bigger framework, as I said before. And here, People Bank of China that is running the financial projects, and of course also the technology development of innovative financial services. The main two projects that are running in a specific research center are the DeFi, the CBDC that are already in testing phase in China, and the Bay Area and Trade Finance Blockchain Platform that is actually a trade finance consortium in order to harmonize the documentation within the mainland. But yeah, let's start from the first, I would call it the first pillar, because this is the first layer. What is blockchain? Blockchain service network. Blockchain service network works with as intent to provide a public infrastructure network that allow to set up very costly and develop and deploy the operation of DLT solution. It can be seen as an interoperability project made by different DLT framework, different kind of chain, permissionless and permissioned, and different kind of blockchain as a service suppliers that are working on different smart cities, working on different nodes. Which are the founders of BSN? BSN, you may see the initiative have a very national, national assessment. There are the main corporation, state-owned corporation, and private corporation that are focusing on this area, not for business point of view, but mainly how to, as I said before, in order to create an environment that can perform business operation as much as better. The software industry is managed by Beijing Red Date Technology, that is a startup that is actually increasing very, very fast. And it's basically involved in the managing the network's operation. Here, the key parts, I called it. As I said before, this is it's an infrastructure, and in order to be efficient, must run over public city nodes. These public city nodes in mainland now are, I think they reach a very popular geolocation in different kind of province and different kind of cities. First tier, second tier, third tier. I see on the newspaper with the period of once per month a new announcement of these this kind of project that has been supported from the eastern provinces that are now growing very fast but are still underperforming compared to the western province of China. As you may see here, there are 200 nodes around China mainland, and there are also international nodes have been set up. Of course, blockchain frameworks are another very important part of BSN. You may see also Hyperledger Fabric. It is one of the main side of the framework because it's acting as a bridge between the Chinese DLT softwares and the international potential application ones. Of course, FOSCO, it's that is a consortium led by Shenzhen-based companies, also have an important role, and also Ethereum as a core of all the permissionless chain. As you may see, the portals are the gateway where from where the systems come to the market. According to my understanding and to the main common sense, the intent of this portal is to provide a free and secure marketplace for DLT solution in China, that in order to provide more competitiveness on the market. There are all the main cloud service providers are already on board on BSN, not just the Chinese one, but also at the international level. AWS, Google Cloud, and Microsoft Azure, they already work with BSN. And yeah, as I said before, this project must be seen as an architecture, as a first layer. So it can be seen as an interoperability project between the Chinese DLT solution and overseas DLT solution as well. And here you see a list of potential partnerships that are already in place. You see some interoperability project. You see the partnership with DML that is also partner of Hyperledger community. And also Chainlink, Oracle, that are very key task in order to collect data. And last but not least, the Open Chain Consortium that has been very soon announced a couple of days ago on the 27th of September. So it's a kind of news. This project is more focused on the public chains and has the intent to collect the overseas public chain and to China according to the compliance that are working in the country. It has been now run by a joint operation between BSN and OBI, the digital transfer asset platform. And the key point is, as I said, is to use the permissionless transaction in order to develop as best and to transfer this transaction to all the city nodes that are working in BSN architecture. So just to stop very moment, if you have questions, I would like to answer and to support. If no, I would move on the presentation.
Nobody wants to make a question. Is it okay. Clear?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I think you can go on, Eugenia.
Okay. The second main project is the DC. Probably you already know the basics about this. It's a CDBC project run by People's Bank of China and started a couple of years ago. And it's one of the two main projects that the Central Research Institute of People's Bank of China is running in the moment. It has, as a CDBC project, it has a two-layer infrastructure. Even if the central bank is issuing the money as a tokenized level, not from the account of the commercial bank, the commercial bank are running all the services through the wallet system and to also other kind of setups for the overseas transaction, for instance. And the key point and design feature are basically to intend to replace the money zero. In fact, the DCP is back 1-1 on deposit reserves and pays no interest and in the administrative functions. Let's move quickly because these are information I already said. Yeah. The registration center. Here, the registration center is basically a centralized ledger that is managing in performing and certifying the transaction running at money zero. It's a public key infrastructure because it has a very strategic function due to the fact that it has the project has a tokenized model. The information comes to and go to the registration center, and this is the place where only the information can be known. In fact, without the consent, no commercial banks, no third-party payment institution can have access to the information. This is, in my opinion, one of the most important things to know about the project. Of course, the CDBC project, the DC, can use, of course, it will use some DLT features like cryptography, like hash functions in order to support the activity. But the key point is to reach the balance between a safe system and a performing operation system from one side. On the other side, the powerness and on the speedy transactions. The key point is how this project will be implemented in the future. And I think this is the place where BSN will work. Here I outlined three main scenarios in which these
Eugenio, we can no longer hear you. Eugenio.
Can take place because political project, it's a provision of the money And of course, can you hear me?
Now we can. We can. Okay.
Sorry for that. I don't know when you lost the connection. Andrea, can you help me?
It was the beginning of the slides, I guess. We lost you for a few seconds.
Okay, okay. So I will briefly get back on this. Here I'm outlining three main scenarios in which the DC can work to empower the Chinese overseas activities. The first one is, of course, in supporting international trades. The second one in for supporting investments in inbound and outbound investments. This is actually the field I'm working on. And the third one is more in supporting the international reserve currency. In the last side of this project, I've tried to outline and I've tried to focus on the future outcome of this project in terms of international cooperation. And I'm focusing on the project that is actually on focusing now, People's Bank of China. This is has been in the news for a while, and it is recorded on the last National Party Committee, one very high-line executive has made this proposal in order to in the future further implement the China, Japan, and Korea free trade zone with packages on of financial services that may use as a first financial layer this pool of CBDC project in order to make faster trade transaction between these countries. And the proposal actually see Hong Kong as the base of these financial services. If I can just for a second move from the presentation, I would say that this is the natural way of approaching this kind of topic from the Chinese government, because as you may see here in the pilot project, that is the project nationally based and in testing of DC, the way of doing the business operation is basically the same. They started from one province and they spread the project to different provinces, and they use the same way of doing the business. They set up a research center within a free trade zone, and then they developed an ecosystem harmonized in terms of policies and provisions that could support this kind of innovative services. So here you may see a few information about this project and the latest one that are on the public. Now the pilot project is working in four main areas, and that are basically on the western side of the province of China that are the most developed from economic point of view, and according to the regulation must be officially lined up on the new upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics. Actually, there is no a specific timeline for DC going to the public, but according to the to the people I have been talking to, there are rumors for the beginning and of the new Chinese New Year, so will be probably April, March, April, May, the next year. As you may see, there are great specific area, one in Beijing, Tianjin Hebei on the north, and then in the middle of Western China, the Yangtze River Delta that is comprehensive, for instance, of Shanghai area, and then the Greater Bay Area, the Pearl River Delta, that is also called the Greater Bay Area, involving Guangdong Province, Shenzhen, Hong Kong, Hainan, that is now developing a very innovative, productive regimes and ports. Here I've made a very briefly outline of the administrative policies that are supporting not just DC, but financial services, innovative financial services in general. And here you may see also what they were saying here. They are geographically well located in order to create like a chain or over the most developed zone of China. Here, you may see for every zone has been set up a very specific integration plan that have in the financial services one of the key driver of the economy for the year to come. And here the Yangtze River Delta that see Shanghai as the main logistics center and the financial center as well. Also Hangzhou, it's on the spotlight because many corporations in China focusing on IT industry are based there, not just Ant Group, but also JD and many additional ones. And I also mentioned Zhejiang province because they have a very, due to the fact that Hangzhou is in Zhejiang, the province has embraced technology very fast. And for instance, now Zhejiang province, Zhejiang University has developed a specific financial research center in cooperation with Ant Group. And finally, the Pearl River Delta, Greater Bay Area, that see Hong Kong, as I say, the Shenzhen, that is the first cities of China completely fully covered by 5G connection. Here, yeah, you see suggested, I named this slide the suggested goal, because of course, all these projects now are running separately, but it is a common sense from the expert that starting the full operation, all these projects will work together to perform at best. And so this is the reason why I outlined a suggested goal is to merge all these projects and the ones that I already said and the following ones together. At municipal level, which are of course the main cities that are promoting DLT activity and DLT developing plans, of course is Beijing, it is the capital, and it has set up a very fully coverage plan on DLT project. There are about 20 project and 12 pilot business case working in different industry that may interact together over the BSN and enjoy ensuring connection and data from together and empowering the operation. After Beijing, of course, Shanghai takes a very important part in the overall Chinese DLT development because it's the financial center of China and also one of the main important port in logistic area in the country. It is not the case, in fact, that the few important commercial banks and the logistic company and trade companies in the port have been set up this strategic alliance based on DLT technology in order to make the clear custom declaration very fast and to speed up the operations. And lastly, Shenzhen, that has been probably the first one in testing DLT application from, for instance, from billing operation to supply chain services. And I mentioned here because I think that due to the fact that is probably, I don't know actually if it's still the only one, but it's for sure the first, it has been the first one 5G fully coverage, and these can help for sure in deploying this kind of project and empowering the operation of this project. Lastly, I'm trying to focus on the trade finance operation. Still by the national project and by the private initiative that have been set up from the commercial banks. The first one are the national project that may be sectioned in two ones. The first one is the platform more focusing on mainland operation. It has been set up by People's Bank of China in cooperation with the Chinese Bank Association. We already heard about in a previous meeting, I remember for instance the PeerSafe manager, vice president, that mentioned these initiatives. And now I had a chance to dig deep the matter. I also have been in touch with people working on this project. And so I've been the chance to provide more information about this. The intent of this project is to create, as I said, probably an harmonized environment in digitized domestic trade documentations, like for instance, letter of credits and so on. This is because you may see that China is a huge country, and from province to province, different requirements in terms of financial requirements may have been required. So the intent of People's Bank of China is to create a system that can, on one side, create an harmonized environment in order to speed up the national operation. On the other side, create a system that can make the supervision of the all documentation that can interact for the overseas operation that are managed by the state administration foreign exchange. This project, the Interbank Trade Finance Blockchain Platform project, has been firstly tested in the Greater Bay Area. And this is not the case because the Greater Bay Area sees Shenzhen and Hong Kong as the main center of these huge clusters. And as I said before, interact with the State Administration Foreign Exchange, that is the subsidiary company working in People's Bank of China, that managing all the systems involved in the checking of the overseas operation. For instance, HVPC and CIPS are managed by the State Administration Foreign Exchange. As you see before, I connect, we hear a few information. It has been launched 1 year ago. It's focusing on supporting the small and medium enterprise, and they have different kind of products. I would not bother you with this information. You are already probably much more expert than me on this topic. But the key point I want to convey is, okay, there are these two national major infrastructure that cooperate together to bring the small medium enterprise abroad in providing financial instrument in a digitalized way to empower the modern medium enterprise operation overseas. Of course, another gateway for the overseas operation is Hong Kong. And here we have a E-Trade Connect that is a service made by the clearing bank that is managing all the operation in Hong Kong area. Also, E-Trade Connect is, for instance, you may see it's powered by Hyperledger Fabric. This is not a weird situation, because you may see Hyperledger Fabric is a software that is very used in China, and it's very used. And the reason is basically because due to this open source nature of the software, it can be developed in a way that can work also for within mainland business operation. And as you see, People Bank of China is one of the member of the platform, and recently partnered with WeTrade. And let's focus on at least in the some private initiatives. I collect a few information that you may see this is an ongoing process every day. New information are coming up and additional initiatives are coming. So I choose Ping An as the first because they have a very wide business case application, and that already interact with strategic location in all mainland initiatives. Another one very, very strong in mainland is China Construction Bank, that have successfully deployed different functions as a domestic letter of credit for facing international factoring, refactoring, and logistic finance. I would like to outline here the fact that is now China Construction Bank is now working with China Postal Saving Bank in order to reach also the lower side of the society, because postal savings it's in China is usually is used to reach the lower side of the society. ICBC of course is more focusing on international operation, as you may see here, has developed specific products in order to support the business in specific areas in Europe, in Africa, and is focusing on cross-border e-trade. Of course, all these services, in order to have been executed successfully, they must work with the national projects. Agricultural Bank of China, that is now focusing on providing loan application especially to farmers. And then the main corporation, for instance, Suning Finance, is using a blockchain as a service and combining this with an IoT data sharing platform in order to empower the retail operation of the products that are supported by the Suning Corporation. China Industrial Bank is issuing a cross-border service platform. Lastly, for instance, the fintech company Antchain, that is a brand underlying Ant Group and Alibaba Group, has now recently released Trustful, that is working within an open chain consortium, and it's basically focusing on matching buyer and seller banks that automatically work out the payment through the settlement operation. And as you may see, I have already started partnership with different banks. And Fosco, that it's a Shenzhen-based consortium, and see essentially two financial service providers company, WeBank, that is run by Tencent Group, and Forbes Syndromes, that has now recently named as one of the best 200 startups in the world. And they both providing, WeBank actually provide a very wide range of financial services, from microloans to supply chain products. And Forbes Syndromes instead is focusing on supply chain for SMI operation. There are, as you see, there have been news of other initiatives from I would say lower or lesser famous commercial banks in China. The key is to say how all these projects will work together. According to my understanding is that at least on the financial industry, in the next year, BSN will work as a first layer in providing the financial corporation a way to deploy not just in mainland but also overseas DLT solution for money 2, money 3. And of course, this will provide much more safety tracking of the transaction, more accountability, and more forecasting for receivable in trades and investments. I understand that I have briefly sum up all the work that is going to be published very soon in full, and I hope you appreciate and have the patience of my speaking that is probably not so efficient. I thank you, and I'm here for your suggestion and comments.
Any comments? Thank you, Eugenio. It was very, very good presentation. Anyone would like to ask questions to Jenny?
Hi, Andrea. This is Ross. I've got a question for Eugenio.
Thank you.
Yeah, Eugenio, in what you've been doing, has the topic of any sort of standards come into play? And by that, I mean, I guess, interoperability to other countries. Because if one country's going down a path of building things and for cross-border trade, you know, at some point in time will come the topic of, you know, this is our system, this is your system, how do we communicate?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of this?
Yeah, at the very beginning I have mentioned standards that are currently running in China for and their efforts to find a way to create a common standards. I can see I have a chance to constantly talk with people that are working from more technical point of view, of course, than me in China, and they are all aware of the fact that they need to create a sort of container, a sort of sandbox that helps the community to develop DLT solution working nationally in a common way in order to approach the overseas solutions facing a one single set of rules. Okay. Okay, here I was outlined. Focusing on the technical standard, I can say that, for instance, these standards I have been facing, for instance, these are standards all in Chinese. So you may see that probably they will work just for the Chinese DLT solutions. But due to the fact that, for instance, People's Bank of China and the MIIT is working with ISO on this initiative, and I am aware of the fact that, for instance, this in this committee in ISO has also been in consideration by European project like EPSI, European Blockchain Service Infrastructure. I can see that China is working and it's taking its part in creating a common standard from technical point of view. If you're meaning that these are full enforcing now, the answer is probably no. But I think that there is a global process and China is fully aware of this process. And once the main initiative will be published, of course, the main corporation in China will be fully aware of that, and they will do as best as they can to interact with this kind of standards. From a protocol layer, from protocol point of view, I think that the wide application of Hyperledger, for instance, is very important, because even in Hyperledger, we have a project like Hyperledger Cactus that can support, for instance, BSN project like BSN in create some kind of communication between between different projects.
Yeah, thank you. I guess what I was thinking was this is the national standard type discussion versus the international standard, but obviously things are developing pretty fast in China. So I guess, you know, that's a future topic.
Anyway, if you have a chance, these kind of standards are public on the network, so you may find this one. But they are all in Chinese, and they are working just at national level.
Perfect. Thanks, Ross. Thanks for the question. Thanks.
Okay, I thank you again, all of you, for the patience of hearing me, and here you may find my reference if you have many suggestions and many questions about. And lastly, the work is going to be published very soon,
yes,
within 1 month, and it will be my understanding that maybe we can have an additional space in order to further discuss about this after the publication.
Yes, the official paper will be soon published. We will do it within the Hyperledger wiki page, and you will have a sort of abstract published on our profiles, I mean, me and Eugenio, pointing out to the official one on the wiki page. So we give you, you know, appointment to the very next days, actually, because we are just in the middle of redefining the final version. So very soon you will have news from us. And I will post also the slides that Jenny has presented today in our LinkedIn profiles. So if there is no other question, I would like to give you goodbye and to wait for you for the next meeting, which will take place in 2 weeks. It's going to be very interesting again. So have a nice day and take care of you all. Hope to see you very soon.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Have a nice day.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Bye, Jay.